Well, hello everyone. Welcome to my teleseminars. It's been a while since I offered these teleseminars, so I'm really happy to be back. And we have some new members, so I just wanted to explain what this teleseminar is about. I created it about 10 years ago now, and I modeled it after like a politician's town hall meeting where he meets with his community members or she meets with her community members and presents something, and then they have a discussion. And so I wanted that for us too. I'm going to talk for a little bit about the topic today, but I'd like to also make a lot of space to hear from you. Any questions you have about today's teleseminar, or anything you'd like to share about your understanding of the principles. So these teleseminars are based on the teachings of Sydney Banks and the three principles. And again, what I'd like to do is, after I talk, just invite people who like to share or ask questions. If people have heard past teleseminars, and they're also podcasts now, know that it really enriches our time together when we can hear from people that are on the call. So welcome new people and welcome everyone. And just one other thing, you'll be sent the recording through email in a few days after our meeting today. So what did I mean by there's no good reason to not love? You know, there's no reason to go against the feeling of love. Well, you know, I've just been reflecting on, again, you know, my listening to Sydney Banks, and he's always pointing to the fact that our energy is love, that our true nature is love. It's quite natural, and we're meant to live in these feelings of love, and let's say happiness as well. We're meant to live in those from day one, actually. But also in his words, it's impersonal, meaning that it's your nature. It doesn't depend on anything outside of you, people or circumstances, to bring about love. You are love already, these beautiful feelings. I don't know, people talk about dropping into the feelings of love, like, you know, peace of mind, of calm, of joy, of happiness, of contentment. Different ways people try to describe just the pure feeling of love. And so I wanted to just talk again with all of you about the fact that when we come up for reasons around how this person isn't worth loving, or that person isn't showing me love, or I can't really be happy here in these circumstances, we're looking at it personally. We're not really looking at it from this impersonal energy of love. We've got our own beliefs, our own ideas, our own opinions, and we're using those to see if we should experience love or not, you know? So that's the difference, because there isn't a reason. If you really wake up to the fact that you are these beautiful feelings, you are love, you are happiness, how can there be any reason for you to not be who you truly are? You know, it's kind of doesn't make any sense, right? But, you know, again, we look at the world through our personal thinking, and as the principles and as Sid has shared with us, through life we learn different ways to think about life. We have opinions around how people should treat us. We have expectations about ourselves. All these kinds of thoughts. And no big deal. It's not right or wrong. No one escapes developing ways of thinking about life or their own personal belief system. But what is valuable with the principles is you can see where are you looking or experiencing your moment, this moment from, your own personal thinking, or just from these beautiful feelings that exist within you. See, that's the thing, because that's why if you really saw that these feelings are your natural state, there's no reason that you can think of that would really stop the expression of your natural state. So I've shared with many of you when I was working in a clinic, psychiatry clinic, I would see couples, and by the time couples came to see me, they were really in a lot of ill will thinking against each other. And so they would come in the first meeting and they would each person would share how they wanted the other person fixed. And what I was able to share with them is that they already are the love they're looking for. It's already within both of them. And the minute they can drop into that, they can connect in love with their partner. The trouble, I would say to them, is that they look at one another through habits of thinking, very negative habits of thinking. And if they could really get a handle on that, they would find the love that exists for them right now. Again, you know, when people are troubled in a relationship, they're caught up in, again, what, you know, how this person is not loving, or, you know, how there are many reasons not to love this person, you know. But what I was able to point them toward, which gave them hope, was that all that thinking about why their partner wasn't someone to love is because of the kinds of thinking they got into with each other that made love kind of a personal thing rather than this impersonal, beautiful feelings. The other piece that was so wonderful for me to experience from Sid's sharing was that he said in these beautiful feelings that we call love is the wisdom you have to guide you through life. It's in beautiful feeling. You don't get solutions to your life issues from a personal view of love. It doesn't come from your negative thinking, let's say. It just doesn't exist there. Because your natural state is these beautiful feelings, not negativity. Negativity is created through our personal thinking, really. That doesn't mean you can't see that something should be avoided in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how people carry resentments and get judgmental and hold on to grudges and things like that. There's no wisdom in that. That's why it isn't helpful to go back and try to discover where did you learn to be a worrier or where did you learn to live in low moods. It doesn't help because there's no wisdom in looking in those areas. The wisdom lies when you can quiet that thinking and go deeply inside to find that impersonal world in us, that impersonal space in us, that consciousness within us that we call love. There is the wisdom to help you out, to help you find ways to take care of things. Maybe it gives you, a voice to get quiet with someone, or to really listen better, or to apologize, or just hug someone, or be generous. That all exists. All that direction exists within the feelings of love that are your natural state, that is your true nature. So if you go exploring within the level of your troubled thinking, you won't really find this, I guess you could call it life wisdom. You might find something that says, well, I'll never speak to them again. That's my solution. When we used to, in the very early history of psychotherapy, when they started to provide therapy for families together, they would call, in terms of couples work, they would call it quid pro quo, meaning that there's an agreement between a couple. You give your partner something and they give you something. So let's say I want to go bowling on Friday. You let me go bowling, and then I'll go to a Meryl Streep movie with you on Saturday. You see? So those are the kind of solutions that usually happen. And you know what? When couples used to do that, they weren't completely content, because it wasn't coming from the feelings of deep love and understanding for one another. It was still coming from personal thinking about each other. Now, it helped because it took that issue kind of off the table, but it didn't really connect it to the couple, because the connection is when you drop away from your personal thinking, when you drop away from your opinions about your partner or other people in your life or your job. When you really drop away from that, you fall right back into these beautiful feelings that we're calling love, and in there is the wisdom. It was speaking to me before I really had started to learn from Sydney Banks. For example, I was a director of this program in a medical center in a psychiatry clinic for many, many years. And before I was introduced to Sydney Banks and the principles, some days I really hated my work. And those days, when I had that kind of thinking about the job, I would search for another job. But, other days, I got into my job. I loved it. I just lost a sense of myself in the job. And I didn't have any judgmental thinking about the job in those days. When I realized what I'm sharing with you now, what I realized was that those days when I was loving my job, I was in this space of this consciousness of love. And the days when I was bothered by the job, I got caught up in my personal thinking. So I started to just honor, just listen for it, go back to the feelings of love for the job. And it started to expand. And all of a sudden, about a month of my attending Sydney Banks seminars and reading his first book, Second Chance, all of a sudden I looked back and I realized I'm looking at I'm not looking at the want ads for new jobs anymore. I'm really satisfied with what is. Now, that doesn't mean I ignored that something needed to be done, around, let's say, some part of the job, but I wasn't in bother. I wasn't in, I got to get rid of the job. Because I started to find that if I stayed free of judgmental thinking, I would really get, honestly, ideas that would help me solve issues in an easy way, in a way where I wasn't caught up in wanting to leave. So that's just a lot of talking about how in these loving feelings, you have wisdom. It's there for you. Again, we're talking about a consciousness that you are a part of, that's you, but it's deeper than your own personal thinking and about life, your opinions about life, your expectations about life. That's there for you. And, talking about these deeper feelings, you might call them, coincide with, we're now entering the holiday season. I don't know where you are internationally, but here in North America, you already see decorations and so forth for this holiday season all over the place. So we're already entering into the holiday season. And for a lot of people, it's a season of good feelings most of the time. It brings out generosity. Those are the times when, there are places as you go into areas of your community where there are retail stores, if you're still out on a brick and mortar stores where there are people asking for donations for different works of charity. So generosity, there's moments of being grateful. All of these are forms of these beautiful feelings of love. And again, one of the beautiful things that woke me up in terms of what Sid mentioned to us is that this holiday feeling, you might call it the holiday feeling, because I found myself in my history that this was the time when I was more attuned to, being generous, being thoughtful, feeling grateful. It was kind of like I had the personal thinking excuse to be more in those feelings rather than this judgmental person I used to be. But he said those holiday feelings are, you can have them year round. Why? Because they're these natural states that we're talking about. They're the feelings we already are quite naturally. They are our true nature, and they wake up around the holidays because we are more, quieter about our personal thinking, or we look away from it, or we dismiss it. We don't engage it as much as at other times. So love is your natural state, your true nature. It's a consciousness you could live in. And for me, I go out in the day, and when I see that I'm kind of, when it occurs to me that I'm caught up in some personal thinking, like getting judgmental or bothered, I bring myself back to these feelings. I bring myself back to love and understanding for people. And then there, in comes the guidance. Simple things like, just take it easy. Let it go. Just find a nice feeling. Just go about your business. Just get quieter in your mind. nothing, you know, like a, not like a nirvana type of thing, though that exists in us, pure happiness and pure joy are available all the time. You know, when you have a laugh, you're in it. When you have a laugh with your family or friends, you're in it. That's a form of dropping into these beautiful feelings. We just don't recognize that happening to us as an expression of our true nature. So we let it go and we get back to serious business, huh? Enough of that. Let's get serious here. One more story and then I want to check in with you. During this this first year when I was introduced to Sydney Banks, one of my supervisors who had met Sydney Banks was running kind of a small group of us that would kind of discuss this new understanding that was taking place. So there were about five of us with my supervisor that met in a group room in this other clinic, you know, that my supervisor was able to make use of every Tuesday morning. And no doubt, I mean, every time we met, we'd start talking about the understanding in some way, and then we would just start living in beautiful feelings. And it always led to us laughing. It never failed. I don't know, we would laugh about how we, you know, one of us would talk about, you know, just in a conversation, talk about how we got insecure and acted kind of goofy, or how we acted from some insecurity. And we would just have a laugh. One person talked about how she went down to this training in Florida that was done by Roger Mills. And she said, I'm watching my weight at the time. And they ordered this great breakfast. So I just felt so good. I ordered pancakes and eggs and bacon. And then I put Sweet and Low, this sugar substitute, in my coffee. And all of a sudden, everybody had a laugh. And they said, why are you putting Sweet and Low in your coffee? This person that was part of the group, Judy, said, well, because I'm watching my weight. And everybody laughed because she ordered this huge meal. So there were these kinds of things that got us laughing every time we met. So the third meeting, we heard from the person who ran the clinic. There was different offices along with this group room next to it and so forth. And the therapist and the other office were complaining that there was too much laughter going on, that somehow it wasn't as, you know, they said something like, we're dealing with serious issues here, people with serious struggles, and there's this laughter. So there's the innocence of it. There's how we miss it. That's all I was trying to share here, not be critical in any way, that we started to just love being together so we could drop into these beautiful feelings and it would lead to a laughter. We started to appreciate enjoying one another, really. That's what it was. But again, you know, like we do for ourselves. Okay, enough of that. We've got serious things here. You got to get serious. And so that's how we innocently in our lives miss the emergence in us of a moment of love expressed through laughter, expressed through gratitude, expressed through generosity, expressed through just being in a nice feeling with someone that you love. You know, that we got to get down to business now. You got to get serious. That's an old habit. And what I was talking about with you today is appreciate, begin to nurture, begin to hold on to moments of the expression of your true nature through forms like laughter, through forms like generosity. See that when that occurs to you, you're in it. In that moment of happiness, you're in it. So the more you nurture, the more you look in that, the more you welcome it, you'll start to, it starts to expand. So let me stop here and check in with all of you. Some of you came on a little later when I had already described what the teleseminars were about. Some of you are new. And the teleseminars are really to also, not only for me to speak, but to also hear from the people that are here on the call today, to hear what questions you might have about today, or any sharing about today, or anything you'd like to share about the principles or what you're learning from watching or reading Sydney Banks. So I'd love to hear from you. To do that, you have to press star 2 on your phone. And I'll know then that I can see here on my screen that I have that you have your hand up. And I will then, connect with you. So press star 2 on your phone if you'd like to share or ask a question. Really, feel free to ask a question. We're all here learning from one another, honestly. And if you've heard the previous teleseminars I've done or that are in our podcast too, you'll see, again, like I said, how enriching it is to hear from people on the call. So, anybody want to share? Otherwise, I don't have much more that I've got to share for today. And I just wanted to touch on this point to just remind you of the natural state we're meant to live in. Really, take that in. Reflect on that this month. It reminds me again of what Sid said. He said, the most unnatural state of a human being is to be unhappy. Can you get that? The most unnatural state for a human being is to be unhappy. Isn't that something? Oh, man, I take that to stay reflective, to see that's the truth. You know, we're born to live in happiness and well-being, to enjoy the world we're given. When you've walked in nature or camped in nature and you felt a oneness, you felt a calm, that's it. That's what you're meant to live in, the enjoyment of nature. That's our natural state. That's what I wanted to bring today. So the only way there's a reason not to love, like I said at the beginning, is you got caught up in your personal ideas about love. Your limits that you set about where you can share love. You got caught up in your expectations of yourself or your judgments of yourself or other people, which keep you from just experiencing your love that's always there for you. So just take today and let it percolate. Don't try to get it. When I was listening to Sydney Banks and I heard the most unnatural state for a human being is to be unhappy, it rocked me. And I started to I just started to let it sit with me. Because that opened up the world. Doesn't it open up the world? And when you find that you're unhappy, that's just, you're not meant to live in that. It's just a thought-created state. You just got into your habits of thinking that created unhappiness. nothing wrong. But you want to recognize that more and more so you can free yourself from the thoughts that make you unhappy. And the minute you free yourself from it, you will be filled with your happiness, your well-being, your joy, the feeling of oneness. So that's the thing. Just let that percolate. Just let that sit with you. Just begin to believe that your natural state was just to have fun. You'll know when you need to, you know, think seriously about what's ahead of you, or to make a phone call you need to make, or take care of your clients in a certain way. You'll know. It'll come to you. But just let those words of Sydney Banks, just kind of let it percolate. Let it sit with you. Well, anybody want to share or ask a question? Press star 2. Well, it's really wonderful to have people join us from all over, from North America, from the UK, from Norway. It's beautiful to have this once again. I'm delighted that I was able to come back and offer this. Oh, we have someone here. Kristen. Hi, Kristen.
Yeah, Mark, you know me from Norway, Stavanger.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for what you just said, that the most unnatural state for human being is to be unhappy. I think that was so wise and wonderful words. So just like you said, it kind of, when you heard it first, it rocked me. And this made, just in the circumstances right now, that was really so good to hear. We have lately had 2 incidents of sons and a daughter of friends. One tried to commit suicide, and the other one, just a couple of weeks ago, committed suicide.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so, but it is again, also, I think that those words of Sydney Banks that you just quoted, I think that was so wonderful to hear. And it kind of calms me down. So that's just what I wanted to thank you for, because that was just so wonderful to hear tonight. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, Kristen, thank you for sharing that. And that's really nice. I think that's the feeling, too. It calms you down. And wouldn't it be wonderful to hear people who are so troubled that they would think of harming themselves if they could see that those feelings are just not their natural state. That alone, even though they may not know how to access their beautiful feelings yet, if they could just take that in, that would help. And they would start to get searching to see, well, what are my natural feelings? How can I find them? But I love what you said, Christine, that it calms you down, doesn't it? It is. All at once, you just don't need to be so urgent about your life, or so on top of your life, or so monitoring your life. And it gives permission to just have some fun and know that enjoying your life, enjoying the people in your life, enjoying them is the natural state to be in. And when you do that, it's even more rewarding. So thanks for that. I love that you shared that it's calming. It really did. That's a really beautiful description of the feeling I get from having heard that. Well, anyone else? Well, okay. It's been wonderful to be with you all. And again, have a wonderful month. And I'm going to offer something in December. It may not be the teleseminar. I may just do a free webinar on keeping the holiday feeling all year round. But keep an eye out for that. I'll be emailing you. So again, thanks for being here. Just loved that everyone could join us. And look out for the recording. It will be sent to you where you could. You have three ways to listen to this now, including the podcast series that I now have. Okay, everyone. Have a great month. Talk with you later. Bye.